down flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today it's our final show before we head off on spring break. And I understand to mark the occasion, the French have prepared a little fireworks show tonight at Murar Atoll. Yes, French testing begins today. We've got the latest. We'll also introduce you to Scotland's first supermodel. We'll award this week's Fumio, and on Radio Gladiators attempt to track down our oldest listener. And joining us live from Frontline, it's our old war buddy, Tom Gleisner. All this and more coming up on the program that's spending its spring break having its mouth washed out with soap and water, Martin Malloy. S.A. Welcome to the final Martin Malloy for the week. In fact, the final Martin Malloy for a couple of weeks because we're off on the spring break. But the participants remain the same. Myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who today is positively glowing. And it's either because we're about to go on holiday or because for lunch he had the chicken muraroa, Mick Malloy.
See, now that's why I'm looking forward to holidays. In 2 weeks I won't have to put up with that.
With my dopey little intros.
Cheap shots. My expense.
I'll just phone you up every day with them at about this time.
That'd be great. A wake-up reminder call.
Yes, but let's get straight down to business today. You know, Mick, you know how you often hear about Australian TV shows that don't do so well at home but are big in Europe? That's a very common thing. Well, now Channel 10's Echo Point has been sold to French television. And look at this headline in today's Le Figaro. Why can't Australia test their bombs in their own backyard? But, of course, the first of the completely harmless, utterly necessary and absolutely final ever series of French nuclear tests at Murara is taking place. Let's see, about now. Yes, there it goes. French atomic tests, you can set your watch by them. But an even bigger French explosion occurred yesterday in the... Is this going to go on for a couple of minutes, is it, Gracie? Good. Those pesky French. But a bigger explosion occurred yesterday in the form of this bloke. What's his name? Dominique Chérard, the French ambassador to the Big Brown Land. And he went right off at the National Press Club. Did you see him?
Yeah.
He says, Australia is treating France like a criminal. He says, in the last few months, there have been an excess of what he calls frog bashing in the form of insults, demonstrations, trade union bans, and the Silverchair album Frog Stomp. Said the fuming Gerard, Australia's protests are misguided. Did we drop the bomb on Hiroshima? Oh, no, they wouldn't have done that. Hiroshima's much too close to Paris for their liking. But he says the tests are completely safe. This is what people don't realise. In fact, Mick, did you see that footage of the French foreign minister? They showed on the news earlier in the week, in the wetsuit, going for a dive in the atoll.
Oh, yes. Very brave that was, wasn't it? Let's see him going for a dive tomorrow. He'll need another mask for his second head.
Well, when he came out, he was suffering no effects of radiation.
Is that right?
No visible effects. Of course, he looked pretty two-faced before he took the plunge. But in order to demonstrate just how safe the tests really are, the man supervising them, a Dr. Jacques-Nicolas Rocher, appeared on French television and outlined the procedure involved. And it's pretty complicated. Mm. Listen to this. First, the nuclear bomb is sealed in something like 10 metres of concrete. Mm. That is then encased in molten lead. Then the whole thing lowered into another bed of concrete by Jacques' glamorous assistant, Miss Fifi. The bomb's fins remain visible at all times, so you know it's still there.
Cool.
They're not doing any Copperfield-style substitutions down there. And the whole package is then sealed in the hardest substance known to man. Now, Jacques didn't tell us what that was. So I'm assuming they must have a giant Cambrook toasted sandwich maker. You know those old ones where you try to make a toasted cheese sandwich and end up with a brick? A kind of, you know, sealed toast shell fused shut and so hard you need to go it with a chisel for 20 minutes to get to the contents. And when you finally broke through, a searing flow of white hot cheese lava would pour onto and often through the plate, table and floor below. Well, if they've got a giant Cambrook, you know, I'll feel totally confident about the test.
Mm.
But anyway, the whole package is then lowered about a mile or possibly 2 miles beneath the atoll. It's discharged. And then they winch it back to the surface. And this is the part I find hard to believe. They open it up, whip off the cover, you hear... And inside, completely unharmed, is a giant Bengal tiger. They find the young, they're cannibals on Martin Molloy with suspicious minds and people. We've got the tuxes on. It's time to award this week's Fumio, a very special gong we hand out to the person who's done the most in the last week to make our jobs just that little bit easier. And the award is this week mired in controversy, with critics calling for the judging panel to be sacked, saying they've betrayed the intentions of the award's benefactor, incompetent Japanese plane hijacker Fumio Kutsumi, who had stressed the prize was for displays of truly idiotic behaviour, whereas last week's winner, Dieter Brummer, had merely been a bit stupid. And there's also suggestions his winning bit of behaviour may have been plagiarised from one M. Whitney. But anyway, despite the brouhaha, we're forging on, and this week's nominees are two-time Fumio nominee and author on the shonk, Helen Demidenko, who sent us a telegram saying if she wins for the controversy surrounding that hot potato of a read, the hand that signed the paper, she'd like to thank several other people, including the book's publisher, editor and author, whoever that might be. Madonna, who unveiled her bold new plan to put a bun in someone else's oven. Everybody down at the King's Cross Police Station for demonstrating that justice truly is blind, and in their case, it's paralytic. David Copperfield, who flew to England to look at a wax likeness of himself in what I regard as the most dangerous development since the boys from Brazil. All worthy nominees, but Mick the Fumio goes to Peter Costello. Yes, the only member of Parliament who's still got his own paper round.
Yes, that's right. What is he exactly? He's the deputy
PM.
Leader of the... Not yet, he isn't, me.
Pardon me.
I'm sure he's very pleased to hear you say that.
There you go.
But he's got the style. He's got the fighting bravado. Mm. He's ready to go. Mm. And, of course, he spent the week distributing stationery in his own unique way. And we're very lucky to have him on the line now.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Mick. I'm honoured. I don't know what to say. I'd written a speech, but, well, I didn't think I was going to win, so I screwed it up into a ball and piffed it at Ralph Willis.
Mr. Costello, do you plan to chuck more stuff around this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got some pizza boxes, some playing cards, a Monopoly board, two toilet rolls and an empty bucket of Kentucky. Oh, and a fridge box with Kim Beazley's name all over it.
You must be ecstatic to win the Fumio.
Tony, I couldn't believe it when my name came out of the envelope.
Great.
Where is that envelope?
Right here.
Don't suppose I could have it, please? I think it'll look great bouncing off the bridge of the PM schnoz.
Mr. Costello, congratulations and thanks for your time.
Got any coasters?
What makes the glue on the...
Kiss from a Rose, that seal from the Batman Forever soundtrack. Now, Mick, the Father's Day fax line is still open today. And what's the kind of thing we're chasing today?
Well, we want some anecdotal information. We want a couple of stories, a couple of nuances from the old man. Little things he used to do around the house that make him special, that mark him indelibly as your dad.
Maybe he's got a particular thing of, you know, that he likes to do when the footy's on. Maybe he's got a bit of music that he likes to put on at a certain time of the day. Maybe he used to be married to Elizabeth Taylor. That's the kind of thing we're chasing.
It's a key phrase. Maybe he used to take to you with a belt that had a buckle on it the size of a china plate. Who knows what it is? But it's unique to your dad, and that's what we want to hear.
And, Mick, what is the fax number?
The fax number, Tony Martin, is 1-800... 816-679.
It is indeed. So send them in now. Now, something else we like to do on the program from time to time, very occasionally, is play a really, really, really old sketch. Something from way back. And I found something today, Mickey, which is from the 1980s, from 1988. So this is like 7 years old, this one. This is from one of the old D-generation radio programs. And I have to thank Mr. Phil Simon for digging this one out. And it's about the Pet Shop Boys, so but amazingly, it still makes sense. Anyway, oh, look, just play it, will you, Gracie?
Are they, are they?
I don't know why, but I
do
we're on this beach. This is the part of the song where I just talk in a meaningful voice about absolutely nothing until the chorus comes in again and cuts me off. Wearing dinner suits, looking like total rats, waiting for the song to fade out. Sounds like it's fading out now.
SAFM.
That's the Black Sorrows here on Martin Malloy. And just a reminder, in the next hour, Tommy G, Tom Gleisner, his own self, is going to be popping in to tell us what's coming up on Frontline and just have a general yak about this, that, and possibly the other.
Goody.
But coming up even sooner than that is Gladiators, Radio Gladiators. And today, it's another risky one. We're going to attempt to track down our oldest listener. We want people of advanced years on the segment today.
The more advanced, the better.
And it doesn't really have to be someone who's listening. It could just be, you know, if you've got, you know, your great-great-grandfather handy, just whack him on the phone.
If he's got a minute, bung him on the phone.
But don't call now, because we're just letting you know in advance in case you've got to phone around and tee the whole thing up. But we were talking earlier in the week, Mick, about Jeff Kennett, the man that makes people in other states feel better about their own premiers. We reported about his plan to secure the Eurovision Song Contest for Melbourne. Here he's also chasing the Indianapolis 500, the Cannes Film Festival, and next year's Super Bowl. But have you heard about his latest plan? It's a memorial park for former prime ministers at Melbourne General Cemetery. But, of course, we've heard this plan before, haven't we? Tony DiDomenico, the spade-wielding ACT Deputy Chief Minister who last month was chased out of Bathurst after trying to kidnap the late Ben Chifley, has accused Kennett of trying to steal his idea. Said DiDomenico, "My message to Jeffrey Kennett is I'm going to fight you for it." Now, you know what we're going to see here. It's a bidding war.
Yeah.
They're both working on their own super league for dead prime ministers, and it's going to turn ugly. They'll be poaching ex-PMs from each other. I mean, I'm sure Malcolm Fraser's currently weighing up two rival offers. Kennett's offering a better position, but DiDomenico's talking walk-in mausoleum. It's ruining the afterlife, Mick. That's what it's doing. Our dead prime ministers belong to everybody, damn it. Now our ex-PMs are just going to be going for the big bucks, forgetting their grassroots supporters. Kennett's going to be on the phone all day making counter-offers, looking up every now and then to say, "Yes, we've got Menzies!"
This is...
We now return you to Abnormal Programming. Martin Malloy.
Where for the last time for a fortnight, it's time to play...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
As I mentioned earlier, today's challenge, we just want to speak to our oldest listener. So really, if you're getting on and you're sort of thinking, you know, maybe I'm not quite sure who Silverchair are anymore. You know, we're looking for somebody who's perhaps, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. That's what we're looking for.
Marching on.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time behind them, you know. They've put in some hard yards. I've got some stories to tell.
We want to speak to respected elder members of the community.
We want to hear what they've got to say.
And I'm sure they'd love to hear what we've got to say.
I'm sure they would.
So, and now there's a few rules I must set out. We don't want this, hello, I'm very old, when, you know, it's just someone doing a silly voice. We don't want that. We don't want people lying about their age. We don't want 80-year-olds calling up going, I'm 83, because I hate it. There's always someone who spoils it, and you are going to have to produce a birth certificate to claim the prize. I think that's what we're going to have to do, just to make sure that it's all hunky-dory. But can I mention the prize? Because it's a Sony lightweight Discman. And I'm sure you can get Glenn Miller on CD now. So, you know, it's worth about $400. So it's worth going for.
It's newfangled machinery.
It is. It's something that the young people have come up with.
Mm. It's something the young people take for granted because it probably wasn't around in our winner's day.
Exactly. And now it's brought to us. Do I need to tell you who it's brought to you by? It's brought to you by 4-20 Pies. Mm. Nothing hits the spot like a 4-20 pie. And I know, Gracie, I know you're waving at me saying, don't go on about the 4-20s today, but just quickly, I'd like to say, have you ever seen a bloke making a 4-20 pie, Mick Malloy? Have you ever been down to the factory and seen how Monsieur 4-20 actually goes to it?
When I was at school, I rode away for work experience, and I begged to be allowed into the factory, and the answer was nay.
Well, really?
So I've spent the last couple of years working out how I can break in.
Well, I've been
see someone making it it's a goal of mine.
It is because you know, it's like watching a bloke making a very fine Swiss watch. It's not a conveyor belt with beef and pastry just being thrown together. Mm. It's a bloke working away with tools. He's got a big picture, and he's sort of going, right, the bit of steak goes there. Mm. Move the gravy over there. It's a very precise, delicate kind of operation. And you know, you have to be like, you know, a surgeon almost to get in. Because
absolutely.
That's the kind of perfect
work. 6 years of study.
Yeah, that's right.
To be a pie maker. You'd do it at the 4-20 factory.
Do you suppose the people at 4-20 listen to this program? Nah. I wonder.
Too busy making pies.
Exactly, they've got bigger pies to fry. But anyway, it's the Sony Lightweight Discman, and I'm sure while we've been crapping on, people have already been contacting their relos and saying, you know, who's the oldest person in the family? Get them on the phone.
Mm.
Because you can cheat. That's what we're saying. We want our oldest listener, but what you can do is just get someone who you know who's over 100, word them up, and we'll talk to them, and that'll do. So call us now, 1-800-657-657.
Yes.
Today on Radio Gladiators, we're searching for our oldest available listener, and there's a lot of frenzied activity going on in here. Marg, are you with us?
Yep.
Oh, it's good to speak to somebody with a bit of sense. How old are you, Marg, if you don't mind us asking?
Well, look, it's a bit complicated. I hope your brains are up to it.
Yeah.
Chronologically, I'm 44.
44?
But I'm really 222.
Oh, what are you? Are you a dog? Is that what you're telling us?
No, I'm not a dog. No, I'm better than that. I'm a super mum.
Oh, a super mum, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been a super mum for the last 15 years. Now, as you all know, that's 10 years.
Oh, I see.
For every year.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, now that makes me 179, but with the second child, you add another 2 years on, so that's another 22 because she's 11.
Gee, have you ever thought of, you know, running up the figures for the deficit on behalf of Paul Keating? Because this is the kind of maths I've heard him using on the telly.
Well, actually, I used to advise him, but I just gave up in disgust.
Okay, well, thanks for that, super mum, but I'm afraid that won't qualify you for the Discman, so we're going to have to move on. Who's next, Mickey? Do we know?
Yes, I think we've got Percy next. Hello, Percy.
Hello, beer, yes.
Hang on a second. How old are you, Percy?
75.
75.
Mm.
You must be at least that, because you've got the Alan Searle lisp going. Are you sure you're 75?
I'm sure I'm 75. I can produce a birth certificate to that effect.
Oh, that's... And what were you doing on is it VP Day? What were you doing then? Were you dancing up the street?
I was just resting quietly.
Were you?
Resting quietly?
What were you doing on the actual day? Do you remember the day?
On the, come again?
On the day when the war finished.
The day when the war finished. Now, I can tell you what I was doing the day when the war finished. We had a community effort here. I'm a farmer, and we were fixing a road the day when the victory was declared, and we all knocked off to celebrate.
Well, did you really?
Oh, that's sensational. I reckon this is completely bona fide, and I can just confirm this now. So you're 75, Percy?
Yes.
Have you received a phone call in the last fortnight from someone called Anna Nicole Smith?
No.
Oh, well, okay, well, we'll have to come back to you, I'm afraid, Purse.
Give it another couple of years, Purse.
Who's next, Mickey?
Our next caller, I believe, is Beverly. Hello, Beverly.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad at all. You're sounding very sprightly, very young, very chipper.
Oh, not too bad, my age.
And what is your age, Beverly?
50.
50?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fair innings, isn't it? You're halfway there.
I'm halfway there.
Has you had a good time so far?
It's been very interesting, I'll have to say that.
Can you condense it into a nutshell for us, just quickly, the highlights?
Oh, dear, no, they're probably not permissible on radio. but we'll go to the good one.
See,
four children, three grandchildren, typical stuff, untypical mum.
A typical mum, there's no such
untypical
thing.
Mum.
Every mum's special, Beverly.
No, I'm untypical, bit different.
Oh, I see.
Did you hear that super mum sort of equation that was going on earlier, Beverly? Do you believe in that kind of maths?
No, only if your children tell you so. Then you know you may be done a good job.
Okay, good on you, Beverly. I'm afraid you're just too young. So we're going to have to go on to our next contestant. Who is it, Mickey?
It would be Kevin.
Yes.
G'day, Kev. How are you, mate?
How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Now, how old are you, Kev? Don't mind me asking.
59.
59, crikey. That's a fair innings.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
And how are you travelling?
I'm travelling in a motor car at the moment.
Hey, come on.
I grew up with Elvis Presley and the Beatles.
Did you?
Right, so,
if Elvis Presley was alive today, would he be older than you?
I saw him in the supermarket this morning. Down at Safeways, actually. And I can always remember Bing Crosby, too. Do you ever play Bing on your program?
Oh. No, we've been lobbying the music director, but it just won't have it. Yes.
Oh, that's no good.
If Brian Adams does a Bing number, it'll be on like a shot. Don't you worry.
Oh, well, you better put some Elvis and the Beatles on, I think.
Oh, we'd be happy to, but I'm afraid, sir, you are indeed too young as well.
All right.
So I'm afraid we might have to award the trophy to Purse, I think, Mickey.
Okie dokie.
Purse, are you still with us?
Yes.
Is it true, Purse, that you've been given an offer to play bass for the Rolling Stones? Is that a true thing we've heard about you?
Now, come again.
That's okay. Purse, you know how we really know that you're actually 75?
Now, how do you know?
Because nobody under that age is called Purse anymore, am I right?
I don't know about that.
There's no Percys in Silverchair, is there?
What's your full name, Percy?
Where?
What's your full name, Percy?
Percy Charles.
Percy Charles
Lindenmeyer.
That's a great name.
Not the Percy Charles Lindenmeyer.
Yes, it's all name.
Okay, do you know, what sort of, have you got any CDs, if you don't mind me asking, Percy?
CDs?
Yeah.
A few.
Okay, well, you've got something to play them on now, the Discman. Mm.
Come again?
It's sort of a gramophone, but much smaller.
Oh, yes.
That's all yours. And thanks for playing Radio Gladiators, Purse.
Oh, thank you kindly.
Purse, just before you go, you got any advice for me and Tone as a couple of young blokes? Is there anything we could take through the rest of our life with us?
What? In which way you mean?
Oh, just a bit of advice, something that'll help us out.
Oh,
you know?
Advice? Mm. Yes, go to bed early.
Yeah.
You know that I'm a farmer, and you know the role of a farmer?
No.
Well, you go to bed early in the night that you can get up early next morning to go like hell that day that you can get bed early that night to get up early the following morning.
Yes, I was saying that just this morning.
You with me?
We certainly
I'm
are.
I'm writing first. That down, Purse.
Okay.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead.
Good on you, Purse. Thanks for playing along, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another Radio Gladiators. Stick around, people, because after the news, we'll be joined by Tommy G himself, Tom Gleisner.
This is
Time to welcome a bloke who we've worked with for some time. And, of course, you'd know him from The D-Generation and from The Late Show and Funky Squad, but he's probably best known as the photocopier repairman on Frontline. It's Tom Gleisner. Tom, thanks for coming in again.
Thank you for having me.
Again. Now, I believe you've got some big exclusive news that you can break on the show about Frontline, about a casting coup that you've managed to pull off. Give us the mail.
Well, we often try and get little cameos, as you know. We used to do it in The Late Show, and we try and do it in Frontline, and we've pulled off an international casting coup. It won't be seen for about a month, but I can officially break it now that we're gonna feature Harry Shearer, who many people will know as the guy with the moustache from the movie This Is Spinal Tap.
I've got Mr. T written down here. Well, obviously something went wrong.
He fell through. No, Harry Shearer has agreed to play the role of. I can't give away what the role is precisely, but a role in an upcoming episode of Frontline, which should be sensational because he's an actor we've always wanted to work with. And so, as I say, that won't be going to air for about a month, but we're very excited.
But, of course, people probably know Harry Shearer better as just about every voice on The Simpsons. Yes. He's Mr. Burns.
Yes.
He's also Smithers, which I find interesting.
Principal Skinner.
He's Dr. Hibbert.
He's Reverend Lovejoy.
I think he is. He's Kent Brockman. He's Ned Flanders.
He's not Troy McClure, is he?
No, that's somebody else. That's Phil Hartman.
But, you'll also know him as he played Handsome Dan, the DJ in Wayne's World 2. Remember that? They really wanted to meet Handsome Dan, and they couldn't wait to meet the guy behind the voice. And like most radio people, when you actually meet the face behind the voice, it's
rather disappointing.
Yes, it's ugly Phil O'Neill, really, isn't it?
If only there were cameras in here now.
So certainly very excited about him coming out and doing an episode of Frontline. Tony, I've been meaning to do this. I have to offer you an apology.
Uh-oh.
When we began writing comedy together back in the late 1950s, you used to constantly try and force a character into anything, usually anything involving police, Detective Sergeant Leighton Homosexual. And I would say to you, it's ridiculous. There is no one called Leighton. You're making the name up. And finally, the US Admiral in charge of the UN forces in Bosnia is, in fact, Leighton Smith, in this case. He's obviously changed it by deep pole. So I apologise, Leighton does exist.
Yeah, it's L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N. It's a real name, Leighton. And hello to all the Leightons listening today. Good on you and more power to you.
Absolutely. So apology noted, please.
Gee, that's going back, the late 1950s. Remember, what was that comedy show we used to do? I think it was called Whoops, How Flippant. It was a kind of radio game show on
the
ABC.
Right. Yeah. We had three stools and Gordon Chater and us, and we just read a lot of stuff.
Oh, those were the days. Tommy, can you stick around on this stool for a while?
Can you stick with me?
No, we care. We're not finished with you yet. We'll be back with more Tom Gleisner in just a moment on Martin Malloy. This is Martin Malloy. Tom Gleisner's with us on the panel. Tom, of course, one of the brains behind Frontline, but also the owner, operator, manager of Charlie the Wonder Dog. And we get a lot of mail. I know we always ask about this, Tom. How is Charlie? What's he up to? What's happening career-wise?
He turned 5 the other week and he had a mobile dog wash.
Really?
Yes.
Were the celebrity dogs present?
Did
Benji show up?
No.
Was Bob Morrison there?
No, just him and some old dog droppings on the front lawn outside the Frontline office, and he had a bath for his birthday. So that's about as good as it gets for Charlie these days, I'm afraid.
No TV Week photographers there to capture
nothing,
the moment?
Nothing.
That's when you know you've made it if you're a dog, isn't it?
Mobile dog wash. Yep, that's right. Just a combi van with a hose backed up. He was sprayed.
Okay, let's get to Frontline and let me just ask a bit of a sensitive question. How are the critics treating you?
Interesting you raise that, Tony. A couple of interesting articles recently have been questioning our production techniques. There's a critic in Sydney. I don't know whether I can name him. Should I?
Please do.
Robin Oliver.
Robin Oliver.
Who's a big fan of ours, always has been. He wears a bow tie, just to give you an idea of the kind of territory in here. And he made the rather startling revelation the other day that we must be using an old camera because it just doesn't look as crisp and clean as the comedy that he knows and loves.
It doesn't look as crisp and clean as Rumpole of the Bailey.
Well, in fact, Robin Oliver was asked to compile his top 10 all-time Australian television shows. Yeah. There was only one comedy in the list of top 10 for the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. Any hazard a guess?
Brass Monkeys.
Mavis Bramston Show.
Oh, of course, the Mavis Bramston Show.
Yes, so that kind of gives you sort of an idea of where he's coming from.
And let me just guess, I haven't read his reviews, but does he love Drop the Dead Donkey, Tom?
Tony, he is a huge fan. That always gets the thumbs up, and Frontline always gets the big thumbs down.
Drop the Dead Donkey, the show, it's just a really ordinary British sitcom, but they think if they mention Norman Tebbit every 6 minutes, people will go, oh, it's very topical, isn't it? That only happened 3 days ago in England. But Robin Oliver, let me tell you about him, because he used to scathe us every week on The Late Show.
Oh, yes.
And I was starting to question myself. I'm going, oh, maybe our show is just crap. I don't know, because it's the Sydney Morning Herald, and they're a real serious newspaper. Oh, yeah. And one night he was going to be on TV on some forum about, remember the Naughtiest Home Video Show?
Oh, yes, Doug Mulray got ripped off.
And it was basically an hour of children molesting kangaroos or something. It was a Channel 9 Christmas tape that got to air by mistake.
Yes.
And they had a forum discussing it the next day, and Robin Oliver's going to be there, and I'm thinking, oh, we're going to see this guy finally. Mm. And I'm expecting a really cool guy in a suit, a sort of Paddington journo, somebody who fills in on the movie show when David and Margaret and Cannes. And this guy comes on, I swear to you, he was wearing a brown corduroy safari suit. And he had that complexion. I've got an Uncle Ernie who drinks a lot of port. He had that kind of complexion.
So the only show you've done he likes is Funky Squad, because he can identify with the wardrobe.
Well, apart from the wardrobe, he actually hated Funky Squad too.
Oh, did he?
We feel we're on the right angle with him.
But I was looking at this bloke going, yeah, that's our target audience. That's who we're making the show for, an old fart in a brown corduroy safari suit.
And when he wants to dress up, he gets the bow tie out.
Exactly.
Substitute for a personality.
And, when are they going to start making The Good Life again? That
exactly.
kind of thing. Okay, well, let's get off the subject before we get into trouble. And what's happening Frontline on Monday?
It's an episode, Keeping Up Appearances. We figured if we put that title in, we'll get a lot of elderly ABC viewers.
Oh, well played.
And it's generally that is the title, and it's about it's the story of a woman. This is a true story that was told to us by someone who used to work in Current Affairs. A woman who was horribly disfigured in battery acid in the face of them. So you've seen Mel Gibson in Man Without a Face. Anthony Warlow in Phantom of the Opera. You've seen George Negus in Broad Daylight. This is the sort of thing we're talking here, and it's how Frontline get the story, how they pursue her and get it to wear. That is Frontline this Monday night.
And what's it called again?
Keeping Up Appearances is the title.
Right, and that's going to be followed by episode 8, Birds of a Feather.
Hopefully. And then the Penelope Keith Festival running right through to midnight.
And some mothers do have them.
Beautiful.
Okay, we've been talking to Tom Glyser. Thanks for coming in. That was the sentence I was attempting there. Mm-hmm. You know.
That's the sentence I took on board. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Mick.
Okay.
This is Martin Beloit. World. Now, we must sign off, and we can't go without the tradition that is the Martin Molloy Comedy Insincorator, brought to you by the Army, the Army The Edge. And this is where we take all the crappy gags we haven't had time for during the week, pack them into the Martin Molloy Insincorator, and send them south once and for all. So let's get things started. Oh, isn't there a bit of a special intro, Gracie?
Hey, Tads! Private Martin, Private Molloy! Fall in for Insincorator!
Yes, sir!
And who is the Insincorator brought to you by?
The Army, The Edge, sir!
I can't hear you!
The Army, The Edge, sir!
All right, lads, it's on and do your country proud!
Yes, sir!
By the right, quick! You're other left, Private Martin, you're other left. Private Molloy, where are you going?
Holidays. You know the problem. Gracie's got two surfboards under his arms. That's why there have been so many basic mistakes on the program today, but it'll all be edited out.
And he's sitting on a mechanical bull.
So he's ready for his holiday. But this will all be edited out of the black box recording.
It'll just be crisp and clean and fresh.
No one need ever know. But start the clock, Gracie, and listen to this. Prince Charles is appalled by the news that his 10-year-old son, Prince Harry, has taken to smoking the odds cigarette. The young prince's secret vice was revealed when tourists saw him standing in the street outside the front of smoke-free Buckingham Palace having a quiet.
Oh dear.
It's
time for holidays. Medical staff are giving heroin to Croatian troops to help them deal with the horrors of war in Bosnia. While the number of casualties have dropped in this region, many more residents have reported their video recorders being stolen. Oh, dear. Off-white American superstar Michael Jackson, desperately seeking some positive PR, has allowed the full-length home video of his marriage to Lisa Marie Presley to be shown on US TV. Channel 9 will screen the video next week on the world's weirdest television.
Do I have to do this?
It's you. French testing in Mururoa resumes today. The French are using this current round of tests to perfect their mushroom cloud, or as they like to call it, their champignon cloud. Not happy with previous efforts, this time they intend to add a hint of garlic.
Dear, and finally,
I'm on holidays.
You're already out the door. But finally, angry TV Week editors who had demanded Dieter Brummer return his silver Logie were surprised and delighted to find the Logie-shaped object they received in the mail was in fact silver foil on the outside. And yes, fire up the incinerator. Courtesy of the Australian Army, never to be seen again. And yes, we're on holiday, people, so we can't go without thanking our guests today, Tom Gleisner and Peter Costello, and all our gladiators, especially Purse, age 75. And as always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie.
On you, Gracie.
All the button pushers around the network, the woman who does the voices we can't, Kath Garrett, and the man, nay, the legend in the glass booth, Pete Smith. Also, a big thank you to our engineers here at the station, Scott Muller, who tries to make sense of all our sketches, and, of course, Steve Woodsy, who threw that Barnsley number together for us earlier in the week. And time for us to sign off. We'll see you in a fortnight, people, and we'll leave you once again with one of our gladiators, Joshua, doing his new anthem for the show.
Whether you've been beaten, bruised or hit, while you're a girl or boy, all you should do is stand or sit and tune into Martin Malloy. They'll make you laugh, they'll make you cry. They're like a children's toy. All you should do is listen to that great dad, Martin Malloy. With Tony Martin and Mick Malloy. That great dad, Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.